Okay, so you are in Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to begin by asking you a question. I want you to think back to when you were a kid. And so your parents, did they ever give you any rules? Things you had to do? Or maybe things you were not supposed to do? When you were a kid, you remember that. You know they did. All parents do that, right? You had none in yours? Wow. I'd have to grow up in your family. And so, what are some rules? When you were a kid, what are some rules that the parents had? Just give me some examples. Eat everything on your plate. Okay. Did you have that same rule?
And don't speak when you're chewing.
Okay, don't talk when you're chewing. Okay. What else?
Don't eat anything on the ground.
Don't eat anything on the ground. Okay. Anything else? So far, all the rules have to do with eating. I wonder where our minds are right now. Food. What other rules?
Do your chores. I have to wash dishes before I went to school.
Okay. Do your chores before you go to school in the morning. Okay. What else?
Go to sleep early.
Go to sleep by such and such time. Okay. That time may have changed as you grew up. It changed a lot, didn't it? Yeah. Anything else? I know. This is how it is, right? No playing until your homework is done. Can't do that. No, you can't go outside and play with your friends. You got to do your homework first. Can't use the special towels in the bathroom. Those towels are for guests. You have to use these towels. Those are show towels. These are dirty towels that you use to dry yourself off with. Wipe off your feet before you come in the house. Stuff like this, right? You had this kind of stuff. Now, all these rules, was there a purpose? For each rule, did it have a purpose? It actually did, didn't it? If you kind of think it through, you understand why the rule was there. For most rules, maybe there you got one or two and you say, man, I never did get that one. But you pretty much know that these rules do have a purpose. So then, question for you. Which is greater, your parents' rules or your parents? The parents are greater than their rules. You ever get so caught up in the rules and obeying all the rules that your focus was on the rules? You know, got to do my homework. No rest yet. Can't rest. Oh, I can't use those towels. I used the wrong towel. And you get so focused on the rules that you never really see the person who gave them. Because the focus is the rules, not the person who gave the rules, or the purpose for which the rule was given. And you sort of miss the greater thing in your focus on the rules. That ever happened to anybody? Happens a lot to a lot of people with God. Chapter 12. Verses 1 through 14. Just going to read. You can follow along. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry. And they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. He said to them, Haven't you read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it wasn't lawful for him to eat, nor those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this saying means, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Now, I just read two different stories, and both stories have the same or a similar theme, and it deals with work on the Sabbath and just how that plays out. And Jesus or his disciples are being accused of breaking the law in each case. Or if they're not directly accused, they're at least it's insinuated. So in the first story, you read it, you look at it, you see that it's the Sabbath day. So by the way, just so you know, the Sabbath was a holy day to the Jews. It was a day that God commanded be set aside for no work. You're to take a day and rest and make it a day to the Lord. And that's what the Sabbath was. And so the Jews came up with all sorts of, okay, we can't work on the Sabbath. Well, define work. And so they had all sorts of definitions of what's work and what's not work. And, you know, can you cook? Can you walk? How far can you walk if you walk? And before it becomes work. And can you, you know, all kinds of little details, really what we would say in English, we would say they're nitpicky details. But the disciples, it's the Sabbath. Jesus and the disciples are walking across a field. It was a grain field, probably wheat. And the disciples were hungry. And they began to pluck some of the heads of the wheat and eat it. And so they're just walking by and just, you know, it's not like they don't have any tools, they're not harvesting, but it's just kind of going from point A to point B and hey, let's take some grain. Which, by the way, was legal in their culture. That wasn't, that's probably not their field. They're taking somebody else's grain, but that was actually considered lawful and normal in their culture. If they had wanted to harvest it, that's different, but just walking by and taking, the grain was there for, actually, it was, so to speak, the Jewish culture's way of taking care of the homeless or the poor. And so that, you know, they could do that. They actually left gleanings in their fields. Gleanings where you go through and you harvest the crop, but you never ever actually get every last bit when you harvest it. There's always something left. And whatever's left, that was for the poor and the homeless. And that's what it was for. And so So anyway, what they're doing is not actually inappropriate in their culture here. But the Pharisees say to Jesus, hey, your disciples, they are not keeping the Sabbath. Because on the Sabbath, you couldn't work. And plucking grain was considered harvesting. It's a form of harvesting. Harvesting was considered work. You can't harvest on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees are getting kind of technical with Jesus and with the disciples. And according to the law that they had put in place, defining what you could and could not do, according to the law, they may have been breaking the law that had been put in place. But to Jesus, his disciples actually have not violated the law. Jesus isn't looking at the all of the 600 and whatever laws that the Jewish community put in place to interpret what you could and couldn't do. Jesus is looking simply at Scripture. And Scripture put in place a Sabbath as a day of rest. The Sabbath was intended to be a rest from regular work. Walking by and plucking a head of grain and casually eating it, it really is not regular work. And so to Jesus, this isn't, they're guiltless, and he's going to actually say that to them twice. And so this isn't really even an exception to the law. To Jesus, they haven't even broken the law. It's not like we broke it, but there's an exception that makes it okay here. It's we haven't even broken it. And Jesus comes back to them. They say, hey, your disciples are doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath. And Jesus comes back to them with two examples from Scripture. And so he's going to quote them Scripture. The first example was about a man who was hungry. That's in verses 3 and 4. And he ate. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the situation here. The disciples are hungry and they ate. And Jesus is going to Scripture and finding a man who was hungry and who ate. And when he was hungry and he ate, he actually violated the law in one sense because he ate bread that was consecrated only for the priest. Normal people were not allowed to eat this special bread, but it was the only food available at the time. And David and his men were coming through, and they were hungry, and the priest said, this is all I got, and David ate it. The second example is an example of someone working on the Sabbath. That's verse 5. He uses that example because that's the accusation. The accusation is, you were working on the Sabbath. And so he actually is tailoring his scriptural examples to what's the situation and the accusation that's going on. And in verse 5, you see it says, the priests in the temple work on the Sabbath, and they are guiltless. And he is referring actually to the law. In Numbers, the book of Numbers talks about the offerings that needed to be made on the Sabbath. And so you got to think through that. Somebody has to make those offerings. Somebody has to be in the temple receiving the offerings and making the sacrifices and so on. And the priests are the ones who are doing that. They are working on the Sabbath. And they are working on the Sabbath according to what the law tells them to do. The law tells them to work on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is saying, hey, the priests in the temple work on the Sabbath, and they're guiltless. And so are the disciples guiltless. That's verse 7. And so twice he refers to this idea of their being guiltless. But there's something bigger than the law here. Look at verse 6. So he just got done saying, You know, the priests in the temple, they profane the Sabbath and are guiltless. And then he says in verse 6, something greater than the Sabbath is, or excuse me, greater than the temple is here. And then he says in verse 8, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That means the Son of Man is greater than the Sabbath. And so you got your rules and your laws, which are good and actually have a purpose. But there's something bigger here that's than just these rules. Before I talk about that, real quick, let's go, just walk through the second story. We get this, the second story is about breaking the Sabbath. And these two stories actually occurred at different times. These are different Sabbaths. Because Luke tells us that. Matthew was arranging his stories topically, which Matthew does that all the time. It's his MO. It's his way of, it's how he works. And here the issue is healing, not eating. And so the Pharisees come to him. They're in the synagogue. The Pharisees come to him and say, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now healing, you have to understand, healing is work. And so, and work, you can't do work on the Sabbath. Now, the official answer, according to, you know, how they break it down, what you can do, what you can't do, when it comes to healing is okay if the person's life is in danger. That's the interpretation that they had. Well, this guy just has a withered hand. His life is not in danger. Jesus could put this off till tomorrow if he wanted to. And the man would be just fine. And so that's where their question's coming from. Here's a man whose his life is not in danger, and so they're asking Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And this is not an honest question. You know what I mean. People ask questions with motives, right? Sometimes the motives are honest. Sometimes there's a genuine, I really want to know. Sometimes the motives are to accuse. You have different reasons for asking questions. And verse 10 tells us their motive. Just look at verse 10. They ask the question, and what is their motive?
To accuse him.
Okay. So we know that we're not dealing with people who actually want a real answer to this question. They're trying to set him up. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to make him say something that they can accuse him with. That's why they're asking this question. You guys know I've been going Monday nights to this mosque, and I've given a couple of talks there. And there are other guys who go and give talks. And afterwards, and every time that I have spoken, Muslims will come up and they have questions for me. And I'm trying to think if a Muslim ever had an honest question for me. Really, it was the purpose of the question was to stump me. They wanted to show that what I believed was crazy by asking a question. And that was the motive. And you could tell by the question, by the tone of voice, by the you can tell these. You can in real life, and so can I. So that's what these people are doing, these Pharisees are doing with Jesus. And so Jesus comes back to them with a question. And he says, that's not a question, sorry. But he comes back to them with a story, an example. He says, Okay, you got a sheep. The sheep falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Do you leave it there, or do you go get it? He knows that what everybody would do. Everybody's going to go and lift their sheep out, even though it's the Sabbath. And then he says, how much more value is a man than a sheep? If you will do this for a sheep, why will you not do this for a man? And so it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. That's the principle. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus heals the man. And then you look at verse 14 and you see the Pharisees' response. What's their response? Just look at verse 14. Okay. They want to kill him. The Pharisees are pretty mad. They came here with their question in order to humiliate Jesus. Jesus just humiliated them publicly in front of the whole synagogue. They didn't like it very much. That's part of their problem here. That's partly why they want to destroy him. Jesus just humiliated them publicly in front of everybody. But there's also a bigger issue. See, part of the reason they want to destroy him is not just they're embarrassed. Part of the reason they want to destroy him is the way Jesus talks about himself in regard to the law. Because Jesus says things like, something greater than the temple is here, and the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, to understand this, you have to think like a Jew for a moment. So I want you to just, I'll help you think like a Jew. The temple, that is verse 6. And the Sabbath, that is verse 8, are hugely important in Jewish culture. To an American, this would be like saying something like, something greater than the First Amendment is here. If I said that to an American, they would think I'm crazy. Or, the Son of Man is Lord of the Constitution. This is how Jesus is talking in his culture. See, that's how these guys hear this. And so, in the Muslim world, it would be like saying, the Son of Man is Lord of Ramadan, and something greater than the Quran is here. How would that fly in the Muslim world? That wouldn't fly real well. You'd probably get your head cut off if you said it. And you know what? That's what these Jewish leaders now want to do. They have a different way of executing. They're not going to cut off his head, but they now want to destroy him because of what he just said. Just think in your country for a moment. Think of some of the most respected and most honored parts of your legal code, or of your government, or the way it's set up. Just think that for a moment. And what if Jesus were to say, something greater than the Communist Party is here? How would that fly in mainland China? He just said that in the Jewish culture, when he said something greater than the temple is here. Or, the Son of Man is Lord of the Korean Constitution. That's quite a claim. This is how Jesus talks. And he talks this way all the time. What he is, the claim is authority. Jesus is claiming authority. And he's claiming authority over the Sabbath and over the temple. In our cultures, he's claiming authority over our constitutions and the Communist Party and the, you know, the First Amendment, and which is part of the Constitution, I guess. But he's claiming authority over those things. Jesus actually thinks he is higher than your government, and that he is higher than your land, and that he is higher than your laws and your religion and anything else that you might want to name. Jesus is not really looking for people who are focused on rules and laws. Because people focused on rules and laws don't see Jesus. There's something greater than the rule and the law. Jesus is the giver of the law. And which is more important? The rule or the giver of the rule? That's Jesus' point in verses 6 and 8. Something greater is here. I'm Lord of the Sabbath, he says. Now, in saying this, he's not saying rules and laws are bad. He actually isn't saying the Sabbath is a bad thing here. Jesus kept the Sabbath. But he's pointing to two things that are more important than the technical rule. The first one is the principle behind the law. The law exists for a reason. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. That's a principle that Jesus is pointing to that gets behind the rule. And then in verse 7, he says, if you had known what this saying means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. That's a principle that lies behind the law. Jesus is saying that the heart of mercy is more important than the technicalities of sacrifice. The sacrificial system was part of the law. And so the law, the principle is the law exists to do good. That's the point of the law. The Sabbath is a good thing. Its purpose is a good purpose. And so we're not going to do bad in order to honor something that's trying to do good. That's the first thing Jesus is getting at, the principle that exists behind the law. The second thing he's getting at is the person who gave the law is more important than the law itself. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, is what Jesus says. Now, as Christians, we have this sometimes tension between laws and a relationship with God. Because they're both there. We are to have a relationship with God. That's why he came. He came. When Jesus came to earth, it was a relational move on God's part. And there are people who are like the Pharisees, and they're so focused on keeping the rules. And sometimes they're really good rules. I have to pray. I got to pray. I got to read the Bible. I got to, don't drink a beer. Can't do that. And the focus is on what I do or don't do. That's the focus. And when that's the focus is not on God. And that's not what God's really looking for. You've seen this, sometimes perhaps you've seen this in yourself, where you're so worried about keeping the law that you totally forget about God. And the relationship kind of gets thrown out the window so that we can keep the law. And when we keep the law, there are people who feel good about themselves because, yeah, I keep the law. I'm a good guy. This, you've seen this. So when that happens, your focus is on whatever it is, memorizing scripture, church. When the focus is on those things, not on God, do you have joy? You really don't. Because those things don't bring joy. It's because as good as those things are, and they're good things, I recommend them. I talked about memorizing scripture earlier today. You were not made just to keep laws. That's not why you exist. You were not made for laws. Laws were made for you. God gives laws for our good. He does not give laws so that we will become slaves to them. That's not the purpose of a law. God calls you and me to something a whole lot higher than a law. He calls us to Jesus. And the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's greater and higher than any law you ever want to mention. And I'm talking about good laws. Now, there are some people who are on that side of the fence. On the other side of the fence, there's another group of people who hear this message about relationship with Christ is more important than the letter of the law. And they say, amen, brother, you preach it, man. You go. Let's go have a beer and party. And then we'll have our relationship with God, and we'll just go do what we want. We don't need to worry about what those laws say, because it's the relationship, it's not the law. There are people who do this. And so they tell ourselves, you don't have to go to church. That's just a law. Now, those people miss the point. What they are is, if the first group are Pharisees, they're sort of reverse Pharisees. They're Pharisees in the other direction. They miss the point that God, the laws come from God. If you love God, you love what He says. And they miss the point that God gives commands for our good. They're not there just so we can blow them off and say, who cares? I'm going to have this relationship. I'm not going to bother with what God says. I'm just going to have a relationship with Him. We need to understand the commands of God have come from God. If you love God, you love His commands. You really do. Imagine a person who said, I love my dad, but I never listen to a word he says. You would kind of wonder if he really does love his dad, wouldn't you? See, that's a sham love. That isn't really love. In fact, they're throwing away the commands of God so they can have a relationship with God. But the reality is they have no relationship with God whatsoever, because they disregard what God says. That's not a relationship with God. That's something different entirely. See, these people also never have joy. Neither one of those groups has any joy. The first group, they don't have joy because they're so focused on the rules and they're stressed out about the rules, and they don't have any joy because they're too stressed out about keeping every little command. The second group, they don't have any joy because they are totally disregarding what God says. And I'm afraid joy comes through God. You don't get joy by focusing on what you want to do. See, really, those people, it's just an excuse for them to do what they want to do. That's all that is. And it's a spiritual excuse. I'm not going to be a legalist. I'm going to have a wonderful relationship with God. But in their efforts to not be a legalist, they really don't have much of a relationship with God. In both situations, the focus is never on Christ. It's on something else. Okay, guys. Something greater than the temple is here. And the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That's where our eyes need to be. When our eyes are on Christ, when He is the main thing, the important thing, it frees us from all the laws. At the same time, we have a genuine desire to do what He says. We're freed from the laws in the sense that that's not the focus. It's something else. And when our focus is on Christ, what we see is something bigger than just a law or a rule or memorizing Scripture. We see something bigger than memorizing Scripture, or we see something bigger than reading the Bible, or we see something bigger than coming to church, or we see something bigger than whatever it happens to be, being sexually pure, or we see something bigger than, you name it, whatever it is. There's something bigger here than all of the laws that you can imagine. We actually see the giver of the law. We begin to see the purpose of the law. And we begin to see the love behind the law that's there. And when that happens, when we really focused on Christ and not the law, it enables us to apply the law well. You can't apply the law well if you don't really understand its purpose or its giver or the love behind it. But when you understand those things, you can start applying it in real life situations. Because real life is kind of messy, and there are lots of different complications that come up, and that's just how life is. And so in Jesus Christ, you have something much bigger than the Sabbath and than the law itself. You have God. That's what you have in Christ. Okay, what I want to do is just close by giving you a moment to focus just on Jesus. He's the one who's greater than the law itself. And to give Him your heart. And so just take a moment, quietly focus your heart on Jesus. Ask Him to be your focus. And then we'll just close in just a second.